All right. Well, thank you. That was a nice introduction. That really took me off guard. My split sermon today is entitled "Writers in the Sky," and I think that's also the name of a Nashville singing group. But anyway, writers in the sky, what would that mean? Well, Jesus Christ attracted a lot of attention with his miracles. He healed the sick and raised the dead. When word spread, thousands flocked to hear him. He preached about the kingdom of God and promised a world at peace. He was the Messiah of whom the prophets had spoken, destined to rule. So let's look at Christ's return. Before he died, Christ told his disciples that he would return with power and great glory. He is pictured in the book of Revelation on a white horse, returning triumphantly to rule this earth. Let's look at Revelation 19, verses 11 through 15. Revelation 19, 11 through 15. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Imagine the impact on the world if someone calling himself the Son of God suddenly appeared, performing great miracles and putting the fear of God into the hearts of men. Would you, like millions of others who have been praying for God's kingdom, think your prayers have been answered? What if his arrival was not quite as spectacular as described above? And instead of heavenly armies, he worked together with a powerful nation or group of nations, using their armies as international peacekeepers to enforce and maintain world peace. How would you react? Well, it turns out there are two writers of Revelation. In the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, it describes an event similar to that which we just read in chapter 19. It begins by saying in Revelation 6:2, "And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Although chapters 6 and 19 both seem to describe the return of Christ, they actually refer to entirely different events. Undeniably, the writer in chapter 19 is Jesus Christ, who returns to earth after the martyrdom of the saints and the heavenly signs described in Matthew 24, verses 9 through 10, and Matthew 24, 29 and 30 take place. Now, Let's look at those scriptures. Turn over to Matthew 24, 9 through 10. Matthew 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Now verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But the writer of Revelation 6 arrives before the martyrdom of the saints and the heavenly signs occur, clearly indicating that they are quite separate events. Let's look at Revelation 6, verse 2, and then verses 9 through 17. So beginning in Revelation 6, verse 2, "And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Now verse 9. "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and offend our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." Verse 12, "I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth and great men and rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountain and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" If the writer in chapter 19 is Christ, then who is the writer in chapter 6? Well, let's look at this mystery writer. Make no mistake, Jesus Christ is coming with great power and authority to dispose his enemies, and he will rule over the earth. But Satan, whose time is running out, is not going to stand back and wait for that to happen. He plans to preempt Christ's return with a carefully staged counterfeit that will deceive the world, turning them against the real Christ when he does arrive. Jesus warned us to expect such events, He said, false Christs and false prophets will arise and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. We find that in Matthew 24, verses 23 and 24. We know that Jesus is the Lamb of God, as it says in John 1:29. But there is another described in Revelation who is like a lamb, a counterfeit who is like Christ, who has authority and performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs. You find that in Revelation 13:11 through 14. This is none other than the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. He is also called the false prophet, who works signs and wonders in his presence, by which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. So now let's look at world peace. The beast mentioned in both Daniel 7 and Revelation 13 appears to be symbolic of a powerful world leader with whom no one would want to make war. Let's look at Revelation 13, verse 4. Revelation 13, verse 4. Beginning in verse 4. So they worship the dragon, who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Billions deceived by the false prophet's power, signs, and lying wonders will eagerly support an alliance between this leader of the beast power and the false prophet. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 9. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Verse 6. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Together they will crush all opposition, and John's vision in Revelation 6 reveals how this will be accomplished. Following hard on the heels of the rider on the white horse of Revelation 6 is a rider on a red horse, brandishing a sword symbolizing military power. Let's look at Revelation 6, 3 and 4, 3 through 4. Revelation 6, 3 through 4. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. The ability to take peace from the earth indicates that the threat of war will be enough to maintain a form of peace. Recent acts of terrorism have already heightened the desire in minds of many for a global military force to maintain world peace. Whether this is accomplished by an aggressive coalition of nations or by a single powerful nation with huge military resources remains to be seen. But now let's talk about global resources. The third rider on a black horse seems to portray a worldwide scarcity of basic food resources. Now let's look at Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. Now, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." The pair of scales suggests that the beast power will be in control of the world's vital food resources and will measure out grain for a price to those nations who need it. That price could well be their submission to the beast's authority. The words, "Do not harm the oil and the wine," indicate that the nation or nations in control are prepared to provide much needed grain as long as their own standard of living is not compromised. Genetic modification, hailed by many, including the Pope, as the answer to world's food problems, may be the means of gaining control over world food resources. Genetically modified crops with built-in sterility will require growers to purchase their seeds annually. Whoever controls the seed source controls the world's grain sources. Many world leaders and their advisors believe fervently that globalization holds the answers to their problems. They envision a single world government controlling finances and resources for the greater good of the world. Control of strategic oil resources has already provided the incentive for a number of wars, especially in the Middle East. Total control of resources is becoming increasingly more achievable. Now let's look at the opposition. The fourth rider of Revelation 6 graphically pictures the fate of those nations that do not submit to the beast power. They will either be crushed by superior military forces or simply left to starve. In Revelation 6, verses 7-8, clearly states that one quarter of the world's population will die at this time through military action or from hunger and disease. In summary, the four writers of Revelation 6 symbolize how a Christ-like religious leader allied with a powerful world leader will, in the name of God, gain global control through military superiority. Let's look at John 16, verse 2. John 16, 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Many will be deceived into thinking God's kingdom is being set up here on earth. Any who dare to oppose this concept, including the saints, will be persecuted. That's in Revelation 6, 9 through 11, and Revelation 13, 7. At the same time, the false prophet is exercising his miraculous powers and prophesying about world peace. There will be two witnesses sent by God to give testimony against the false prophet and beast. Although they too will have power to perform miracles and to prophesy, they will eventually be killed. Let's look at Revelation 11, verses 3 through 10. Revelation 11, 3 through 10. Beginning in verse 3. I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Verse 7. And when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies three and a half days and not allow their bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. So powerful will the false prophet and beast become, they will even dare to oppose the real Christ when he does return. Now look at the end time prophecy. End time events described in Revelation were given to John in visions similar to those described in Daniel 7 and 8. Those prophecies, heavily laden with symbolism, define roles to be played and events yet to occur. However, they do not predict precisely when they will occur, nor do they reveal who will fill the various roles. They were written in terms applicable to the times in which the writers lived. Each generation has tried to interpret the prophecies to fit current events, often assigning end time roles to individuals and nations who exist in their, that exist in their own times. While it is interesting to speculate as to who will do what, it is important to understand that all has been revealed. Let's look at Daniel 8, verses 26 and 27. Daniel 8, 26 and 27. And the vision of the evenings and the mornings, which was told, is true. Therefore, seal up the wisdom, for it refers to many days in the future. Verse 27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Afterward, I rose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by a vision, but no one understood it. Some things may not occur as predicted by those who have attempted to interpret the end time prophecies, which, as it says in 2 Peter 1, verse 20. More recent events are making it increasingly difficult to make their interpretations fit. And today, a whole new world order could emerge very rapidly. So what are the warnings? Satan is very subtle and incredibly clever. He is the master of deception, and if it is possible, he will deceive the elect. As it says in Matthew 24, 24, and as it says in Revelation 12, 9, you know, it says that Satan will deceive the whole world. So make no mistake, he will try every trick possible to convince us that the writer of Revelation 6 is the real thing. Remember, Jesus himself said, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe him not. And he also said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. Luke 21:8. We have been warned that great deception will take place. Already many have been deceived. Even if world events do not unfold as we expect, it is important to maintain a close relationship with God. Remember, Christ is our rock, our salvation, and he will defeat the false prophet and the beast when he returns. Let's look at Revelation 17, 14 now. Revelation 17, 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. In the meantime, we must watch our spiritual condition, praying always for truth and proving all things by God's word. Let no one deceive you when it comes to riders on white horses. Make sure you back the right one. Happy Sabbath, everybody.